Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shepherd Rock Church, and we are very
thrilled to have you worshiping with us this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm always fascinated by how quickly the seasons change, aren't you? I mean, just last Monday we were in a heat wave. The next day we dropped like 20 degrees. I'm like, are you serious? You know, 20 degrees overnight? That's crazy. But you know, things and life and everything is changing so quickly that it's if you're not careful, you know, it will miss you if you don't have a plan in place. But that's something else. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of us in here this morning are familiar with social media platform? Some social media platform, right? And if you're familiar with any one of those platforms, you'll understand that each one of those platforms will have a different way of describing those people who are said to be in your network, right? So if you're on YouTube, you are a subscriber, right? If you're on Facebook, you are a friend, right? And if you're on Twitter, you are a follower, right? That's a concept, right? What's interesting, though, about Twitter is that the Twitter platform, you're able to subscribe to or follow a person, and whatever message or whatever they put out there, you can instantaneously receive notification of what that person has said, right? And a lot of people have used Twitter to either start a conversation, to even start in movements. And that's a powerful thing, right, in our day and age. And as I thought about that, I thought about the notion of following. What does it mean to follow someone? Because really, when you're on Twitter, you're really not following that person, are you? You're just trying to get notification of what they say, right? Because when you think about following someone really has at its core two basic concepts. The first is that you're committed to whatever lifestyle this person is leading. You're committed to that person, right? And the second is that you're willing to abandon your agenda to follow or to take on that person's agenda. So there are two components there. There's a commitment part, and then there's a denial part. There's a self-denial part, right? Because that's what it means to be committed to someone. That's what it means to follow someone. And so as we think about that, and as we think about Jesus, and as we think about introducing Jesus, Pastor Nathan did a wonderful job last week of kicking off the series, and we're going to continue in that vein of introducing Jesus. And the topic that we want to talk about this morning is following Jesus. Following Jesus. And what does that mean? What does that entail, and what's involved in that? Amen? And so if you have your Bibles handy, we're going to jump in at St. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 18 to verse 22. And just to give you some kind of a context for Matthew as we read it this morning. Every gospel writer has a different perspective on who Jesus is. In other words, they paint a different aspect or a different view of Jesus that when you put the entire thing together, you get a much better, a much richer view of Jesus and his life. Matthew, however, has a very unique approach in the sense that he looks at Jesus and through the perspective of a king. Jesus is king. And at the beginning of Jesus' life, you see a very violent reaction to that reality where Herod is notified by the Magi that a new king is born. And Herod, you know, out of rage, and he wants to make sure that nobody really, you know, takes over his throne, he issues a decree that every child in Bethlehem below the age of 2 should be annihilated. And that's how, if you will, we see Jesus break into the world. In other words, here is a king, here is the true king invading the kingdom of darkness, and he is coming to rescue people from the tyranny of evil, to rescue people from the bondage of sin. And the question is, as this king begins to navigate, as this king begins to move through this earth, how are the people going to respond to him? Are people going to submit to his authority, or are people going to challenge his authority? And as you read through the book of Matthew, you see this constant conflict between two kings, or between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And so as we step into this, we're looking at St. Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus now, he's walking along the shore of Galilee. And now he's about to call some individuals, and we're going to see how they react to the king. Is that okay? Let's pick it up. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat and their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Could you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. We ask, O Holy Spirit, that you will visit our time of worship this morning. Thank you, God, for the preparation. Thank you, God, for the stage that has already been set through worship. And so, God, as our hearts are prepared for the implanting of your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that indeed you will let every word that is said this morning come alive in the hearts of your people. Help us to understand what it means to follow you in a much deeper way this morning, so that even as we go out and engage the world, God, we will have something of substance that we can present to those who are around us. Thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this story, there are a few things, you know, and whenever I study, it's very easy for us to really gloss over the text and just read through real quickly, especially if we have a checklist. You know, I read my Bible, and so, you know, we gloss over things real quickly. And so one of the things I like to do is I like to just focus, zero in on a passage of text and just see if we can just bring out or tease out anything that is there. Is that okay? And that's what we're going to do this morning. As we look at the text this morning, there are several things that I see in the text that I want to share with you. And one of the first thing is that following Jesus is disruptive. Yeah, it is. Following Jesus is disruptive. And when I think about disruptive here, I'm not talking about, you know, troublesome or somebody who's been bothersome or nothing like that. I'm just talking about the fact that he changes or he challenges the status quo. Right? If you will, let's look at the text. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 and verse 21, we see two things happening here. We see where Jesus comes on the shore of Galilee and he sees two sets of brothers, if you will, Peter and Andrew, James and John. And he approaches them and he does something that is very unique, because in that day and culture, whenever a rabbi has his students following him, the rabbi never really goes out and initiates the conversation or initiates the invite. It is normally the student who seeks out the rabbi. But in this case, Jesus flips the script and he takes the initiative and he calls these men. And the question is, how are they going to respond? And so as we look at it, Jesus walks up to these two brothers. First, he walks up to Peter and Andrew. And the Bible says here that they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. In other words, as Jesus approached these men weren't sitting on their hide. They weren't, you know, just laying up in bed, not doing anything. These men were busy doing their daily activities. This man, Peter and his brother Andrew, they were actually on the boat and they were actually casting their net. They were actually fishing. They were actually doing something. They were engaged in their daily business. The Bible says that he goes on a little bit further and he sees two other brothers, James and John. It gives us a little bit more detail that their father Zebedee was there as well. And these men, they weren't fishing just yet, even though they were fishermen. They were actually preparing to fish. So the Bible says here that they were preparing their nets. And what we see here, and I love the English, because it tells you here, if you look at the two words, casting and preparing, it tells you that they are engaged in some kind of action, and it's going on right now. In other words, when Jesus approached them, they weren't looking for something to do. They were doing something. And the thing that they were doing was their business. They were engaged in commerce. They were engaged in something productive. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes up on the scene and Jesus disrupts their daily activity. Jesus, following Jesus is disruptive. He comes on and he says to the brothers, "Come, Follow me, and I will send you out to be fishers of people. I don't know about how you feel about that, but when it comes to following Jesus, there are times when Jesus is going to challenge what you're doing. Yes, you're engaged in your business. You're at the top of your game. You're doing what you need to do. But there comes a time when Jesus is going to call you in the midst of all that activity and say, come, follow me. And the question that we all have to grapple with this morning is this: are you willing to change your plans to follow Jesus? Yeah. I know you had your plans to be CEO. I know you had your plans to hit the sales target this year. Yes, I know that you had your plans that after you graduate from college, you're going to be this or you're going to be that. But the question is when Jesus calls you, are you willing to change your plans to follow him? Because that was what was presented to the disciples. They were casting their net, they were preparing their nets to fish, and Jesus disrupts their daily activity. And one of the things that I'm beginning to realize is this, that Jesus will disrupt your plans. Jesus will disrupt your plans so that you may discover your purpose. Oh, you need to write that down. Jesus will disrupt your plans so that you can discover your purpose. Because sometimes the activity that you're engaged in, you're pouring your life into it. You know, you're planning a vacation next year. And man, you're planning everything. And everything is being jotted down. And you're like, wow, I'm going to have so much excitement. And all of a sudden, Jesus calls you. And the question is, are you going to change? That's at the core of what we're talking about this morning. The reality is that every follower of Jesus Christ needs to have some kind of a disclaimer in their lives. And let me say this. What we're saying here is that we're not saying that you should not plan. You should. You are called to plan. You are called to make, put stuff in place, if you will, to make sure that the future is secure. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to understand that your life no longer belongs to you. It belongs to him. And when the king calls, the question is, are you going to respond? And so as you're going about your daily life and as you're putting your plans on paper, make sure that your plans are not written in pen. Make sure that they're penciled in pencil. Because sometimes, you know, we have a way of etching our plans in stone. And come on, even if you don't follow Jesus, you know well that life hasn't gone the way you planned it. Come on, talk back to me this morning. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, as you're thinking about your life, there ought to be a disclaimer in your life that says, subject to change at the master's call. Oh, you better talk to me this morning. The reason I say that is because there's some of us who have made plans in our lives and we've invited somebody else to follow us as we're going along, right? And Jesus calls us and now we are trying to change direction and the person that we're with is really resisting the direction that we're going. And the person is really saying, but when I married you, you didn't tell me that this was going to happen. But honey, it's there, subject to change. Okay. When you have that disclaimer in your life, change doesn't become as apprehend. You know, there's not a lot of apprehension when it comes to changes in your life. In other words, change is something you invite in your life when you have that disclaimer. Because you know that at any moment, Jesus might ask you to change directions. And as a follower of Jesus, you're going to listen to the king. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Yeah. Say that one more time. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. As you're going about your daily life, make sure you have that disclaimer, subject to change, at the master's call. Amen? Life doesn't become so uncertain. No, rather you see when Jesus calls you, like, yes, Master, I'm ready. So first, following Jesus is disruptive. He will cause you to change your plan. God knows that sometimes some of the stuff that we are planning, it's really not good for us. Amen? And you said, thank Jesus, he called me. The second thing I realize as I'm going through the text and as I'm seeing how Jesus engages these brothers, not only is following Jesus disruptive, but the second thing I see here is that following Jesus is risky. Following Jesus is risky. We're talking about commitment here. We're talking about what it means to follow someone. Following Jesus is disruptive. Following Jesus is risky. Let's look at the text. In verse 20 it says, at once they left their nets, talking about Peter and Andrew. They left their nets and followed Jesus. Right? So here they were fishing. Jesus calls them, disrupts their daily activities, and all of a sudden they leave what they were doing and follow Jesus. It's risky. Jesus goes on further. He sees James and John and he calls them. They were preparing their nets because probably the nets was damaged from, you know, prior day fishing, and they were repairing their net or fixing their net. They were about to get ready to fish. Jesus disrupts their plan and says, hey, come follow me. And the Bible says immediately, not only did we get some more details, not only did they leave their nets, they left the boat and they also left their daddy to follow Jesus. It's risky. I don't know about you, but as I'm reading this, I am disturbed, if you will, at the suddenness of their response. I mean, come on, really? You are just going to leave everything just like that to follow this man just because he calls you? Let's dig a little bit deeper. Because you see, in order for you to be a fisherman in this day, there were at least three business models. And follow me, business models. The first was that you were probably a tax collector, and what you would do is that you would franchise boats, right, to different individuals, and they would work for you, and you would, you know, reap in the profits, if you will. So the first one, and this was normally a strategy that was employed by the upper class. If you were wealthy, you could own a franchise, you could, you know, lease it out, and, you know, folks would work for you. The second strategy is that you would own a boat, right? You would own a boat or two, you know, it's nothing big, you know, it's okay, you know, and everything like that. And then you would hire people to work for you. And both of you got, you know, you and your employees, you would go out and you would fish. And that strategy was typically employed by the middle class, right? You own one or two boats and you're good. The third strategy, however, is what would be employed by the poor or the lower class, if you will. And these were the day laborers. These were the people who would be hired. They're hired help. They didn't own anything because they didn't have any assets or any money to own anything. So these were the three different ways that you became a fisherman. Now, if you read the text carefully, you will understand that James and John and Peter and Andrew, they weren't poor. The text says that they left their nets and they left their boats and their father. In other words, these were middle class people. These were small business owners. Okay, let me take it a little bit further. Okay. In other words, their family was dependent on them bringing home the bacon. Okay, like bacon, okay. Bringing home the paycheck. And this was their, it doesn't go over well, right? And this was their only source of income. Do you see what is going on here? And these men, at the call of Jesus, they dropped everything on the dime and followed Jesus. Let me take it home to you this morning. Okay, their families could have owned a home. They had a mortgage. They had a car note. They had kids in private school. They had tuition to pay. They might have had some debt, you know, and everything like that. Not only that, but they were planning for a vacation, you know, so they had money in the savings. And not only that, but they had plans. And all of a sudden, Jesus calls them and they drop everything. Now, what I find offensive about this is that Peter was married. And he did not consult his wife. Okay. I know I'd be hot water if I were to do something like that. Corey did what? Change the lock, change the keys, change the house, change the address. Okay. following Jesus is risky. On the dime, they dropped everything, did not consult their families, did not consult their friends, did not seek any advice from their mentor. They just dropped everything and they followed Jesus. Following Jesus is risky. The question that we have to grapple with this morning is not only are you willing to change your plans to follow Jesus, but the second question is, are you willing to leave it all to follow Jesus? Because that's what it means to be committed to following someone. What's interesting here is that when you think of risk, you're always thinking about ways of hedging your bets, aren't you? I mean, if you know, you have a car, you purchase car insurance just in case you have an accident, you know, you're okay. You have a house, you have house insurance, you live in a flood zone, you have flood insurance, and you're trying to hedge your bets, or you're trying to protect your assets. The question is, if I'm not following Jesus, how do I hedge against that? Because it's either you're following Jesus or you're not. How do you hedge against not following him? There's no hedging, right? There's no insurance against not following Jesus. It's either him or nothing. The Bible tells us this in a very succinct way. It says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his one soul? What Jesus is saying there is that your soul is more precious than any kind of a wealth you can accumulate in this world. Because when you die, it stays right there. Oh yeah, it does. I would tell you a story, but I'll leave that alone. I don't have enough time. The point I'm trying to make is this, that Jesus will call you from those places that seem familiar so that you can experience the comfort of his faithfulness. Yeah. He's going to call you from those places of security. He's going to call you from those places of comfort. And he's going to say, if you follow me, it might seem risky right now, but I'm going to take care of you. It might seem as though you don't have anything right now, but guess what? I'm going to take care of you. Your needs will be met. Peter, after he's been following Jesus for a while, following Jesus, in Luke chapter 18, it tells us of a parable, but an encounter Jesus had with a rich man. He was a rich young ruler. He had a lot of money, and he came up to Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? It's easy. Just do what you've always been doing. You know, follow the laws and everything. I still press Jesus. But Jesus, I'm doing all of those things from when I was a kid. Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then come, follow me. The Bible says that the man went away very sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus makes the comment that it is impossible, let me make sure I get this straight, it is impossible for a rich person to enter heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Do you remember that?
Yes.
At the end of that, some of the people who were surrounding Jesus said this, who then can be saved? Because they had a philosophy or a worldview that, you know, the rich, wow, if anybody's going to be saved, the rich certainly is going to be saved. Because they associated wealth with blessing, they associated wealth with salvation, which is not the case. Peter says this, Lord, we have left all to follow you. If somebody is poor, what do they have to leave? Nothing. So it tells me that Peter had something. That's something, right? Lord, we have left all to follow you. Here's the promise that Jesus made to him, and this is what I'm talking about. That when you follow Jesus, it's a perceived risk, but it's not an actual risk. Jesus said to Peter, truly I tell you, No one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. What Jesus is saying is that when you follow me, you're really not risking anything. When you follow me, you're actually gaining everything. Eternal life. Amen? Amen. The last point I want to make, and we're going to close with this, if you will. So we see that we're following Jesus is disruptive. He will call you to change your plans. Following Jesus is risky. He will call you to leave it all. But you know what? Following Jesus is life-changing. Amen? It's life-changing. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, you see, and we're going to end with Jesus' words. He says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." That's what he says. Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Here we see two things wrapped in this one sentence. We see a command and we see a promise. Two things. We see a command and we see a promise. We see where Jesus commands his disciples, come, follow me, and the promise is that I will make or I will send you. The point I want to make here is that there is no such thing as a self-made believer. There is no such thing as a self-made Christian. In other words, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it is Jesus who takes the responsibility of shaping, molding, and changing and transforming your life. You can't transform your life. You can't change your life. You've been trying it for years and it hasn't happened. We are not self-made, we are Christ-made. Christ has taken the onus. He has taken the responsibility of shaping and making us. And it's interesting here because when you look at the idea of Jesus calling his disciples, it's a personal call. In other words, when Jesus calls you, he's not calling your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or your uncle or your aunt or your great, 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 great. He's calling you. It's a very personal call. But when he calls you, he then turns you around and puts a public mission on your life. He says, come follow me, personal, and I will send you out, public. Do you see that? And what's interesting here is that what Jesus is calling us to do is to fish for people. Before I said to you that when Jesus will often call you and disrupt your plan so that you can discover your purpose, what Jesus does for Peter here is that he gives Peter a new purpose. He says, Peter, you were fishing for fish before, but now I'm going to have you fish for people. And when I was younger, I used to think of this as a, oh my goodness, isn't that so cute? You know, Jesus just makes that wonderful analogy. You know, fishing for fish and now you're going to fish for people. And that's just beautiful. But when you take a deeper look at this, Jesus was very purposeful. Jesus was very intentional in his choice of words. In other words, he's saying, Peter, when you come follow me and I send you out, your life, talking about following Jesus is life changing. Not only will your life change, but the people you encounter, their life will also change. Because I'm calling you to fish for people, to pull them out of darkness, to pull them out of sin, to pull them out of state of desperation, to pull them out of addiction. Wherever they are, I want you to fish them out and bring them into a place where they can be reconciled to God. And Peter took this very seriously. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we see where Peter stood up. Being empowered with the Holy Spirit, he stood up and he preached. And the Bible tells me that on that one day, we had the first mega church. Over 3,000 men, not counting women and children, came to God under the preaching of this one man. In other words, he was fishing them out of darkness, fishing them out of the captivity of sin. Guess what? When God calls you, when Jesus calls you, it's the same commission. It's the same calling on your life. Because when we follow Jesus, it puts us on the front line of God's mission. It puts us on the front line of God's mission. You see, God has a plan to rescue people from sin, and God has a plan to rescue people from darkness. And guess what? God is calling to be part of that plan. It is something greater, it's something bigger than yourself. And the reality is that many of us in here, we're searching for meaning, we're searching for purpose. And Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you will find your purpose. I will send you out to fish for people. And what greater purpose is there in life? It's not a life of glamour, it's not a life of extravagance, but it's a life that is worth living. It is a life that is rich. It is a life that is full. We're actually rescuing people from the domain of sin. Question is that we want to finish this up, and I'm going to ask the praise team to come, is who are you following this morning? Who are you following? We're not talking about Katy Perry or Kate Perry or Justin Bieber or, you know, Barack Obama or Trump or whoever. I don't know who you're following on Twitter. We're not talking about Twitter. We're talking about something that is more substantive. We're not talking about following a message. We're talking about following a life, following a person. And what greater work, what greater task can any of us do than to be involved in rescuing people from sin? That is what God has called us to do. Amen? Could you stand to your feet with me this morning? As Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, two sets of brothers. He probably knew what their response was going to be, but we didn't. They were busy people. They owned their work. They owned their business. They were, man, they had plans for the future. But Jesus came and he disrupted their lives. He came and he challenged them to risk it all. But most importantly, he came and he changed their lives. That is what Jesus wants to do for you this morning. He wants to disrupt your plans. He wants you to risk it all so that he can change your life. And so I don't know who you're following this morning, but the question is, are you following Jesus? Because there's no alternative. I don't know what life insurance you can buy against not following him. He is the only life insurance. Because in him there is life and life eternal. So, are you following him or not? I'm glad that when it comes to following Jesus, I don't have to log into an account and enter my name and my date of birth and my email address and my credentials and my preferences or nothing like that. All I have to do is to accept him as Lord and Savior of my life. Instantaneous. You know the beauty about it? He knows you. Yes. We can try to pretty it up, we can try to hide it, but he knows you, yet he still calls you. You don't have to be perfect, you don't have to have it all together. The question is, are you willing to submit to him? Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. God, I ask, oh God, that if there's someone under the sound of my voice that does not know you this morning, if there's someone under the sound of my voice that is not following you this morning, I pray that that person, oh God, will make that decision today. It is the most important decision they can ever make, and that is to choose to follow you. Holy Spirit, will you work on that person's heart this morning? For those of us who have declared you as Lord and Savior for our lives this morning, God, give us the courage. Give us the will. Give us the passion to want to change for you, to want to risk it all for you, to want to live for you. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do through us and in us as we continue to follow you all the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.